The Blue Bloods, the Cinderella stories. Which teams are you taking to go all the way? And which teams are going home early? It's time to go inside the tournament. This is Bracket Breakdown, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studios at Radio City. Here's Craig Karmazin, David Gruber, and Stephen Watson.
Start hour two the way we started hour one, talking about the Wisconsin Badgers. As we open the show, we're also joined by Stephen Gruber. And Badgers in that South bracket. And when it comes out and you see Baylor and North Carolina as the two names you hear before Wisconsin, David, did that make you feel optimistic or pessimistic about the Badgers' hopes this year?
Pessimistic, because I think they're going to grind out a victory, as we discussed in game one. But I think Baylor has it all. They really have it all.
Well, we are going to ask you a question about Wisconsin right now. And let's open this one up. But in the last 10 years, besides their leading scorer, which would be
Frank the Tank.
Nope. No. Someone who played a little, who had a little.
Gosser?
No. Hap.
Oh, duh.
Ethan Hap.
I thought that was the obvious. Yeah. I didn't want to throw that one out there. So besides Ethan Hap, who is the Badgers' leading scorer over the last 10 years? 800-990 ESPN. 800-990-3776. You can talk or text on that one. Actually, no, I want to go around the horn on this one and see what people go with. Stephen Gruber, who do you got on that one? Badgers leading scorer over the last 10 years besides Ethan Happ.
Wow. That's an interesting one. I'd probably go Sam Decker.
All right. Go Sam Decker. Chris Larson?
Oh, man. Nigel Hayes? I mean,
okay.
That's a good pick.
Stephen Watson, who are you going with?
I was stuck between Nigel and Jordan Taylor, and I'm going to go with Jordan Taylor.
Okay. David?
I think I'll go with Jordan Taylor.
The correct answer was Nigel Hayes.
Oh, wow.
Second leading scorer over the last 10 years for the Wisconsin Badgers, who do take on North Carolina. Stephen Gruber, how do you break that one down?
I think the Badgers will get the win. I do. I don't think it's a great matchup. I don't think either team was happy to see each other across from each other, but I think the Badgers will get this victory, and then Baylor is just really, really tough. I think the Badgers will put up a really good game, and it'll come down to the last few minutes, but I think Baylor will squeak past them. But I do think the Badgers will beat North Carolina, but North Carolina has a huge front court. I still think the Badgers will tough it out and get the victory there.
See, I actually was kind of happy when I saw this matchup, especially when I had seen the first two regions come out. LSU was an 8 seed, you know, and I'm thinking like, uh-oh. Like, if the Badgers had played LSU, I would have been very concerned after having watched that game. And then UIC as an 8 seed, I think would have been really tough for the Badgers. I've seen UIC play two games this year. I think North Carolina is so different. And I think, you know, if you go back, away back to the 2000 Final Four run, like that was a team where North Carolina and Wisconsin both went to the Final Four. How about that for
there
a little
go.
Nugget? I think this is an absolute opposite of the momentum play that Steven was talking about earlier. A 4-8 team coming into this tournament that has to use their maturity to feel good enough about themselves to get it done in a game against a team that is going to be bursting athletically against them.
Yeah, Roy Williams has never lost an opening round game in the NCAA tournament. He's 29-0, 15-0 at UNC. But I just think that the Badgers are playing themselves in this first game, right? Like they are a more talented, experienced team. But if they come out and their fundamentals are what we've seen down the stretch of their season, they turn the ball over, they go through 8-9 minute stretches of missing a shot. Like, there's a very realistic possibility the Badgers are going to lose and could lose badly.
Does anyone have them winning?
But I do think they will win.
Anyone have them going to the Sweet 16? No.
I just think the Badgers are going to be happy that they're not playing Ohio State, Illinois, Iowa, or Michigan. And that's why I feel good with them over Carolina.
And Baylor, you said you do think they can play with, though.
Oh, yes. Seaman said that. But, yes, absolutely. I think they can play with anybody. Like I said, we're on the short end, but we keep watching them play. You know, these are all top 10 teams, top 5 teams in their league that they're playing every other game. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to be phased by playing Baylor or playing Gonzaga or playing Alabama. I don't think anyone's going to phase them. Question is if they could end up on top at the end of the game.
Right. And Iowa's a high scoring team. I mean, Baylor's a super, super high scoring team, shooting, just scores a ton of points. I mean, they average 85 points a game.
They play good D, though, too.
Yeah.
They have three guards.
They're the anti-Badgers.
Three really good guards.
So wait, they score 85 points a game and they play really good D. That seems like a dangerous team to play against.
Not real.
All right, well, let's look at the other Big Ten team at that top of their bracket. Could play a Big East team, but as you guys see it, do you see? I know there's a very popular Winthrop over Villanova being picked. Anyone have that 12-5 going down?
That's the only one I have. I think Villanova just stepped in quicksand at the wrong time. Again, I think Jay Wright's the top 10 coach in the country, and he could help regroup them. But when you lose your point guard, you know, I really think you lose the leadership on the court. So that I talked about how the other ones could happen, but this is the one I picked. I think Winthrop's going to...
So that's your 12
over 5. And it's not even Colin Gillespie, Justin Moore, too. They've lost 3 of 4 games to unranked teams heading into the Big Dance. This is just a prime 12-5 upset. I also have Winthrop winning in this game. I saw that they're the lowest or the only one-loss team in NCAA history to be a double-digit seed. I think that it's just not the year for Jay Wright's team. Injuries hitting them in stride. A 12 seed has won. They won 3 of 4 games in the 2019 tournament. I think this is a great opportunity to take that 12-5 upset.
Steven, are you going to make it 3 for 3 here?
I am not. I think somehow, some way, Villanova, Robinson Earl, they're just going to win the game. I don't know how they're going to win it, but they're going to somehow win the game. It'll be a close game. It'll go down to the last few minutes, but I think Villanova will squeak past Winthrop.
Now, Steven Watson, you had your East was your crazy region. I have my craziness going on in the South and in that upper half of the South.
Just because I said the East was chaos doesn't mean that I don't have any other chaos.
Well,
practice.
But I have Wisconsin over Baylor, pulling the upset over the one seed, and then losing to Villanova. And then losing to Villanova, who I have all the way to the Elite Eight. So I like picking a team that everyone is doubting with a coach I believe in every year. That's what I always want to pick one, like, elite coach who everyone's doubting each year. And to me, that's Jay Wright this year. So I have them rolling all the way to the Elite Eight. David,
without
I know...
Colin Gillespie?
I know. I'm telling you. Just watch.
Like Izzo. I don't doubt the coach. I doubt the fact that, the coach can't play the point.
David, you love the Big Ten this year. You got Purdue and Ohio State still in this region.
I do.
Do you see either of those teams making a big run?
Well, I do have Ohio State beating Texas Tech. I think
what should I be doing, by the way, with Texas Tech, Arkansas? That's one of those. I don't know what to do.
That's a great game because, again, you're talking about great coaches again. Texas Tech was in the last Final Four.
Right. At,
I mean, don't forget that. And they have Georgetown's player. They have McClung, which is kind of interesting. But I've seen Arkansas play a lot this year. I'm picking Texas Tech. I went back and forth. And I think that's one of the toughest games of the entire tournament to pick, Texas Tech.
All right, I'm going with it then. Steven Gruber, I don't know what to do with Florida and Virginia Tech. What do you think there?
Yeah, my South region here is very unique. I have Texas Tech going to the Elite Eight. I think Arkansas has a guy named Moses Mooney who's really, really good. And I think that the Texas Tech Arkansas could be the best matchup in the entire tournament in that second round there. But I do think Texas Tech, Chris Beard has shown to have great success in the NCAA tournament with the runs that they've had. I think Texas Tech makes it to the Elite Eight and an all Texas South final there with Baylor versus Texas Tech.
Wow.
I have Florida beating Ohio State in an upset. I think both
now, does everyone like Florida
teams.
Over Virginia Tech? Because Virginia Tech's a tough defensive
team. I like Florida over Virginia Tech, but I think that's going to be. I don't like Florida this year, but I picked Florida over Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that I just can't. That matchup, I don't know what to do with. I feel like Virginia Tech is so tough when I saw them play, and I don't know if Florida is.
I'm just not in love with the ACC.
ACC was down.
I agree with you, Craig. I think the winner of that Florida Virginia Tech game. For some reason, I just think Ohio State might be ripe for an upset by the winner of that game. I don't know why. Ohio State has proven to be excellent this year, but for some reason, I'm just seeing that as an upset opportunity for the winner of that matchup.
All right, we will get to the final thoughts on the South region, and we'll have another question to throw out there. Let's go to the Dukies. We'll talk a little Duke basketball, who I don't think we're going to get to their region. I mean, how about that? How about doing this show without talking about Duke? We'll discuss
or
that.
Or Kentucky.
Well, yeah, Duke. That is incredible. Or Auburn. Pour out a little drop for Auburn. We will discuss that all as we roll on. It's Bracket Breakdown, presented by Gruber Law Offices on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. If you with my penny low, yo, I'll be over here. About some teams who are not in the tournament this year. Let's start close to home with a team that was really close. And Stephen Gruber with us still. How about the Milwaukee Panthers? I mean, a team who I don't think any of us thought was going to be there, but I mean, they were a few minutes away from being in the big dance, David.
What an exciting run they made. I think one of my favorite nights of basketball was. Say shout out to the Horizon League. One night, I believe, in their conference championships, they had three games go into overtime, and the other was a buzzer beater on the same night. And I believe that's the same night that UWM was down, I think, 24 with like
six minutes,
6:30 to go, and they won in overtime, which is really remarkable. So, yeah, they came close, and they were up on Cleveland State late, and wow. So you could almost smell it.
I mean, do you sense that there's something building there, or is it kind of start from scratch each year?
Well, it's tough, especially in the last 2 years.
I mean, and knowing that even after this year, you know, kids are going to be able to transfer at will. So how do you build continuity right now?
Well, Coach Baldwin's excellent. He's solid. I mean, it's just every player in college basketball, this is going to be a year like none ever. Every kid is going to be a free agent. So every coach has to re-recruit their own players first. There are kids that are going to be starting for 4 years in a college, I think, and then go somewhere else because the NCAA has given every kid an extra year of eligibility and they're going to be able to play right away. I believe the ACC today, you know, some outdated rule, they said that kids could transfer within conference and could play the next year too. So it's all different.
Well, you say re-recruiting your own kids, but you almost don't know if you want them until you know who else you can get from other schools.
Well, think about the Badger situation. I mean, you're going to next year, I assume most of these kids are going to come back. I don't know that.
For their seventh year?
Well, you're going to have 23, 24, and 25-year-olds, you know, playing college basketball. And I'll tell you what, you got men playing against boys if you have 24-year-olds playing against 18 and 19-year-olds physically.
But also, if you think about the Badger program, some of these players who you want to revere and who have been so, and I'm not talking about Revere's, who you want to revere, but you also need to bring in the next generation of players. I mean, I feel like it could lead to some awkward situations with some players.
Well,
right?
Of course, you're gonna have 20 people on the bench next year in different sports, not just basketball, but you're going to have 20 people on the bench on some teams.
Wow. So, Stephen Watson, how about Marquette? You know, this was not a year to remember. I guess the high points were high, right? The Badger incredible victory at home and going on the road and winning at North Carolina. But besides that, a lot of forgettable moments and not a year that ended the way they'd want to end, especially given a string of poor finishes to Marquette seasons.
Yeah, and their future is probably the most intriguing in the state right now is what they decide to do with Steve Wojciechowski. You know, he's under contract through 2024. I think they have so much young talent on that team that you have to be excited about, right? Like DJ Carton and Justin Garcia are, you know, really good proven players that can play in big time moments. But they have another top 20 recruiting class coming in, and you know, Wojo's always been a very good recruiter. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how Marquette can bounce back, because you can't deny the fact that this team hasn't won a tournament game in the Wojo era. You know, this is a program that's
been over 3,000 days since Marquette's won an NCAA tournament game.
Under Crean and Buzz, it was, if you didn't make the tournament, it was a potential fireable offense, right? And now you have Wojo, who hasn't won a game and has missed a tournament a couple of times. So at some point, you got to win the games or you got to make a change. But it's going to be really interesting to see the direction that Marquette goes in.
Steven Gruber, another team or two not in there. Duke, Kentucky. I mean, that's strange, right? I mean, not many tournaments we've gotten into without those two teams. And obviously Michigan State we thought was going to be on that list, but they put it together late. How about no Duke, no Kentucky in this tournament?
A wild year, wild results. I believe it's the first time since 1975 or 1976 where there's no Duke or no Kentucky in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and let's look at Duke. Leading scorer at Duke in the last 10 years. Leading scorer at Duke in the last 10 years.
Oh, so I have to say his name?
I think you know it if you're saying it that way.
Got to be Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen is correct. Leading
scorer. Still gives me nightmares from 15.
Yep, from Wisconsin, that game. How about leading scorer the last 20 years at Duke? Chris Larson?
I was going to say, I'm thinking either Kyle Singler or
nope.
John Shire.
Nope, both incorrect.
Oh, John Shire. That was a
Jason Williams?
Nope, didn't play long enough.
Chris Duhon?
Nope.
It's got to be that 0-1 team, right? Should I just rattle them off?
Nope. Steven Gruber?
20 years.
Last 20 years, leading scorer at Duke?
Grayson Allen.
Nope. Oh, that was a good guess. That would have been tricky there to get him in there. Nope. I think he is second, though.
What position, Craig?
Oh, J.J. Redick.
There you go. J.J. Redick. Guy gets a lot of buckets in the NBA. Still getting it done there. Yeah. David, quick on Marquette. You know, so we've been so blessed, right, in Wisconsin the last 20 years. It seems like Marquette or Wisconsin has been ranked every year. You know, that again was the case with Wisconsin, but so much talent in the state. I mean, what do you see next? And do you agree that what Steven said, that there is a base of talent there with this Marquette team, or do we not know who this team is?
I don't think the Marquette team had a lot of depth this year. You know, the freshman Lewis, I mean, he was injured a very big chunk of the year. I think Coach Rojo was only playing, you know, seven guys that he had confidence in most of the year. I thought the league was pretty even. So I think their biggest fault this year was lack of depth. I also think, and you can say this, I think they were hurt by playing in empty gyms. I think they had a big home court advantage, Marquette, and I think that made a difference for them. So I don't think they had quite as much talent as Steven sitting next to me thinks they do. And I also think we took for granted Marcus Howard, who wasn't good, and I think he was super. I think he was absolutely super. And we missed him a lot more. People were anxious to say, hey, what are we going to be without Marcus Howard? I was never one of those to see how we're going to be anxious to be without Marcus Howard. And, of course, you know, losing the Housers was unexpected. But, you know, that's the nature of college basketball. You know, you got kids who are starting, playing great minutes, playing well, and, you know, the grass is always greener. And I'll end your answer by saying, you don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks, too, because these kids are just going to take off because the grass is always greener.
All right, let's just to put a wrap on our South regions here. I end up with Ohio State coming out as the 2 seed there in the South. Steven Gruber, you ended up seeing them get upset. So was that who did you have rolling through there?
I have Baylor beating Texas Tech.
Okay, we knew Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. Baylor, the 1 seed. Steven Watson?
I have Ohio State beating Baylor.
And David?
I have Baylor edging Ohio State, and I like Ohio State. They never die, but I think Baylor's just going to eke by them.
All right, 2 Baylors, 2 Ohio States. We get to the Midwest, and then the Final Four as our bracket breakdown continues, presented by Gruber Law Offices on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
This is Bracket Breakdown on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Here's Craig Karmazin, David Gruber, and Stephen Watson.
Was I a fool to let you break down my walls? Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. Cause if you like the way you look that much.
Continuing Bracket Breakdown, Craig Karmazin along with David Gruber, Stephen Gruber, Stephen Watson. We were talking a little Marquette. Let's go. This one's a shocker for you. In the last 20 years, who had the highest scoring single season at Marquette besides Marcus Howard?
So we're going 20 years.
20 years. The top single season scoring year besides Marcus Howard at Marquette. Remember, single season in 20 years. So think about, I mean, some of the names we're talking about here are, you know, we're talking about Hall of Fame type quality of players here.
Is Dwayne Wade too obvious?
Dwayne Wade is pretty darn obvious. And Dwayne Wade is number 2 on this list. So he is at 710 points. There is someone who has 716 points.
Jesus, I remember. Sorry. I remember those streaks that Andrew Rousey went on. And my goodness, he put up a lot of points there for a period
okay,
of time.
Okay, so Stephen Gruber, you're talking about players like Jimmy Butler, Darius Johnson-Odom, Travis Diener, Jay Crowder, Lazar Hayward, Wesley Matthews, Jarrell McNeil, Dwayne Wade, and your dad goes with Andrew Rousey. And your dad is correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Andrew Rousey, the second leading his senior year, 716 points, edging Dwayne Wade at 710 points for the second highest season in that mix.
He was appointment TV, though, I have to say. I loved watching Rousey play.
Steve Novak, by the way, had the 17th leading season on that list with 541 points.
He was a kid that very few kids, when the ball left his hand, I was shocked every time it didn't go in. And you can't say that about a lot of shooters these days. I mean, unbelievable.
I believe Andrew Rousey had either 40 or 45 points about a month ago in an NBA G League game.
He did.
His team just won the G League championship.
He did.
Yeah, Rousey. Yeah. Rousey on that season did shoot 41.5% from 3, 90% from the free throw line. 42 for the field.
I'd like to see his percentage from just inside the circle, because he wasn't hitting just threes. He was hitting deep NBA threes.
Yeah. By the way, Henry Ellenson, the name that was thrown out earlier, 16th on that list. I mean, Marquette has had some talent in the last 20 years, right?
Yeah. My guess would have been McNeil if it wasn't Wade.
Yeah, and when you think about it, year in, year out, they're in the mix and have won the championship of the tournament, you know, the basketball tournament, and it's no doubt why. I mean, again, we didn't even mention Dominique James, Vander Blue, Sam Hauser, Devontae Gardner. Some great, great players come through there. All right, let's go ahead to the Midwest, and it starts with Illinois. Illinois is a team, David, I feel like you have you like a lot. You like the Big Ten this year, so I assume you like Illinois.
Yes, I mean, the more I saw them play, and they got, you know, they have two giant centers. They're giant. I mean, it's one of our guards is an All-American. The other is the epitome of the old-school point guard. I mean, he could really run the show. I love the kid. Underwood is a hard-nosed coach. He's underrated. I mean, I like everything about that team. They have great enthusiasm. They play well together. They root for each other. I mean, that team really grew on me in the last 2 weeks.
Although, when you say about a guard who does what he's supposed to do, they could run into Jose Alvarado in that second round.
Similar guards.
A guy from New York. New York point guard at Georgia Tech. He's not lefty like Kenny Anderson back in the day, but I like Georgia Tech in this tournament. I really like Georgia Tech in this tournament, and I think Georgia Tech's going to take down Illinois in that second round.
Nine seeds won every single matchup in 2019. They were 4-for-4.
Georgia Tech, I think, is going to have a war with Loyola of Chicago.
Yeah, that is
Georgia
a tough matchup.
Tech, but Loyola of Chicago is a good team, hard-nosed, well-coached. I think that's going to be a war. And I literally hadn't seen Georgia Tech play a full game until a little while. And I don't think they have the horses on the inside to battle those two big kids.
So now, Stephen Gruber, you're talking about some guys at the top of the draft. In this region, we have Oklahoma State, which means we have Cade Cunningham, who a lot of people have at the top of the draft. They're a 4 seed, which I think surprised most people. Do you see them with a run in them?
Well, Craig, before the brackets came out, my two surprise teams to make a run were Oklahoma State and LSU. And Oklahoma State, I think they got a horrific seed, and I think they got a horrific draw, and that Illinois is so solid, and they're a spectacular team this year. I think that Sweet 16 matchup between Illinois and Oklahoma State. Now, I know you have Georgia Tech beating Illinois, but I don't think that's very likely, Craig. I have Illinois playing Oklahoma State in what I think will be an incredible matchup. I see Cade Cunningham probably being the first pick in the draft. He's sensational.
Now, the 5-12 there is one that I just don't know what to do with, David. Tennessee, Oregon State. I don't know what to do there. You know Tennessee. You know the SEC.
Yeah, Tennessee made a little bit of a comeback in the last couple of weeks. If you recall, earlier in the season, they were in the top 10 in the country. Very well coached. I believe that kid Fulkerson is iffy. He caught an elbow in the head. But I do have Tennessee over Oregon State. Oregon State, you know, they were the Cinderella story. Just ask Bill Walton. But they were preseason last in their league. So they're true Cinderella, but
they have that momentum like Georgetown, right? Coming into it, Stephen Watson, where are you going in this bracket? You feeling Illinois?
I'm team Cade Cunningham. I'm all about Oklahoma State. I think that as a 4 seed, I agree with Stephen Gruber that they were criminally poorly seeded. They beat West Virginia twice this year, who got a 3 seed, and the fact that as a 4. Illinois has to be bumming that they're going to have to run into the best player in college basketball in Cade Cunningham in the Sweet 16. I have Oklahoma State in my Final Four.
I do as well. David, you are from the state of New Jersey, and it is the team from the banks of the Raritan who is back in the NCAA tournament, Rutgers University, the 10 seed, Big Ten Rutgers. What do you think they have in them?
Even though it's a 7-10, I did pick Rutgers. I think it's going to be a close game. Clemson's pretty good. They're pretty athletic. I've seen them play a couple times this year. I went with Rutgers.
Can Rutgers beat Houston?
What'd you say?
Can Rutgers beat Houston, the two seed? I haven't seen Houston play at all.
Houston is a grinding, ugly team. They may play great coaching, Kelvin Sampson. They grind defensively. They do just enough to score. The league, I think Rutgers may surprise and play Houston tough, but I have Houston beating Rutgers.
Yeah, so as we finish out that bracket, I do have Oklahoma State over West Virginia in my regional final there. Steven, how about you? Gruber.
This was the hardest matchup in the entire tournament to me. Illinois versus Oklahoma State was the most difficult choice, right up there with Michigan LSU. I have Oklahoma State beating Illinois in this matchup, and Oklahoma State going to the Final Four, beating West Virginia.
Ah, you're with me, Oklahoma State. So, and Steven Watson, you're also Oklahoma State?
I have Oklahoma State beating Houston to go to the Final Four.
All right, and you have Illinois.
I have Illinois beating Oklahoma State in a war, and I have West Virginia, Huggy Bear, I'm a Huggins fan, upsetting Houston. So I have Illinois against West Virginia.
Yeah, so a lot of three Oklahoma States, three West Virginias in this bracket. So we are down to our final four. We will break that down as we continue. We'll have a few final questions. We'll hit North Carolina, and we'll hit, I think that's it. We're down to the end. We'll hit North Carolina. Which is a little bit, might be a layup for you guys with the, as dominant as you've been handling all these questions. As we complete our bracket breakdown presented by Gruber Law Offices on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Also, Steven Gruber with us as well. As we put a wrap on our bracket breakdown, it's time for our final four. But before that, let's hit North Carolina, who will be playing the Badgers. Leading scorer for Carolina in the last 20 years. I think this one's fairly obvious. If you think of him, you'll know it's right. Steven Gruber, you got it?
I think I got it too, yeah.
Steven Gruber?
Hey, Craig.
There you go. We got Steven Gruber back with us. All right, Chris Larson. Now, Chris knows it. I'm not letting Chris see. Steven Watson, I feel like you don't have it. Leading scorer at North Carolina over the last 20 years.
In the last 20 years. Someone who was a four-year player, obviously.
This is when you think of this person, you'll know it's the right answer.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
You got
I'm
it?
There. Yeah.
All right, Steven
Watson. I'm not there yet. I'm not there.
Steven Watson, why don't you give it? Because both Groovers here, I don't think know it. Steven Watson,
not a very likable guy. Gritty.
He played there for 4 years, and we probably should have played there for 8 years.
His face bleeding in March is like one of the iconic.
Tyler
Hansborough. There you go.
Yes. Tyler Hansborough, your leading North Carolina score. All right, it's time to get through our final fours. Let's go over to Chris Larson. Chris, you have said you have not officially done your bracket yet.
No,
correct?
Not yet. I mean, I still got to work on it. I usually don't put it in until about just before the play-in game usually happens.
Now, are you a multiple bracket person?
I'm a one sheet of integrity guy, so that's why I got to do my research and just make it one.
Yep. Yeah. Is anyone, or Steven Watson, are you a multiple bracket?
No, I like locking in the same bracket in multiple pools.
But yes,
I like believing in my picks.
Because I think if you do enough brackets, they're like, oh, yeah, I got them. Oh, I got them.
It's like fantasy football, right? Yeah. Like fantasy football, though, like I can have multiple teams and be okay with different guys. But like when it comes to my bracket, like that's my bracket.
Yep. I agree with you. All right, Steven Watson. So who do we have now in this final four of yours, with Oklahoma State being your final of your final four?
I have you want my full final four?
Yeah.
Just to recap?
Yep.
Gonzaga against Texas and Ohio State against Oklahoma State. So I only have one seed in my final four.
Okay, and in your championship?
I have Gonzaga against Ohio State in my national championship game.
Ooh, and the winner is?
The Ohio State.
Wow. Ohio State.
I think the Big Ten has just been the best conference. They're going to be rewarded with a national champion for the first time in 20 years.
Wow. Ohio State. That would be back in the championship game for the first time since Mike Conley and Greg Oden, right, was the last time when they beat Georgetown in the Final Four, I believe, en route to that championship game.
Beat Tennessee to get there.
Yes, they did. David, your Final Four.
Well, by the way, the big question I have is, after 40 years, I'm not sure if it's Gonzaga or Gonzaga.
It's Gonzaga, because it's the Zags. That's how I always
remember. You sure?
Yes.
Is that the reason?
Yes,
okay.
It's the Zags. That's how I remind myself.
I have Gonzaga over Baylor. I have...
Although, they can't play each other.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That would be an upset.
I'm reading off a different sheet, thank you. I have Gonzaga over Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I have...
Illinois and Baylor.
Baylor. And I have Illinois over Baylor.
Ah, so another Big Ten matchup with Gonzaga in the finals, like you had, Stephen. And is it the Big Ten getting it done again?
It is not. It is Gonzaga 79, Illinois 74.
Now, and that would be particularly meaningful, right? Because that would be the first team since Indiana to really pull off a season like this, right? You know?
It's a long time.
Yeah, they went 32-0
undefeated.
We've seen, you know, St. Joe's, I remember, right? That was one of the teams that made it undefeated, I believe, to the NCAA tournament.
I have one which will be near to your heart. I believe it was 74 or was it 75 that Rutgers went undefeated into the Final Four.
And then lost undefeated. In the Final Four, right?
And then lost twice in the Final Four because there was a consolation bracket.
Though. Oof. Oh, that third place game must not have been fun to play after losing. Yes.
Tom Young's Rutgers team. Phil Sellers.
So Illinois falls to Gonzaga as Gonzaga is that next. And by the way, name who are those five starters for Indiana?
Well, Ken Benson, who was a Buck.
He's been waiting for you to ask that.
Quinn Buckner, who was a Buck. Let's see, Bobby Wilkerson, who played in the league for a while. Scott May, who basically was a Bull most of his career, but had a cup of coffee with the Bucks. And then the trivia question, which everybody asks, who's the fifth starter, is a guy named Tom Abernathy, not Abernathy. So that was always a good trivia question.
That is pretty impressive.
$3, though.
That is impressive. Stephen Gruber, your Final Four.
My Final Four, Gonzaga plays against LSU, and Baylor plays against Oklahoma State. I have Gonzaga beating LSU, and I have Baylor beating Oklahoma State. With a matchup of Gonzaga-Baylor in the national championship, and I have the Zags taking it home.
Ah, so father and son both go with the Zags undefeated, getting it done. Tough to find a weakness, like when you pick Gonzaga to lose. I couldn't really figure out why they would. So that's why I ended up with where I went, which was Gonzaga defeating Florida State to go to the championship game. The other side, I had Ohio State falling to Oklahoma State.
Oh, you're Team Cade.
And I had, in the Carmelo Anthony of the new millennium run, Oklahoma State winning the national championship. With the only way Gonzaga is going to lose in this tournament is if it's to the best player in the tournament, which I think is Cade Cunningham, and that is your national champion, Oklahoma State.
Wow.
David,
I don't hate
that,
it. That I don't
look,
hate it.
Who's a four seed. I agree with what was mentioned earlier, too. I thought their four seed was silly. I thought heading into the weekend they were going to end up being maybe the last two seed at best, at worst, maybe a first or second three seed. So I think that's rough.
Who do you guys compare Cade Cunningham to as this, you know, potential number one pick in the draft? Stephen Gruber, anyone who he reminds you of?
It's difficult because with his size and passing ability, I mean, he's not Magic Johnson, but it's that type of player where he's just a big point guard, just makes solid decisions. His shooting is okay. He's not a great three-point shooter, but His feel for the game, his basketball IQ is just, it's unmatched when you talk about his size.
But isn't that LeBron in some ways? Just not as physical, but, you know, but that sounds like LeBron when you describe him a little bit.
I don't know if he has the explosiveness at this stage that LeBron has. LeBron, as we all know, is just an absolute freak athlete. I think Cunningham's a really good athlete, but he's not a LeBron-level explosion athlete.
Yeah, and LeBron kind of grew into being a point guard, whereas Cunningham, you know, has kind of the benefit of having, you know, come after players where, you know, where people like Giannis have been given the ball, and Cade Cunningham has been given the ball and will have it for Oklahoma State, which I think is going to be fascinating to see. As you all said, I think Illinois is a really good team also. I mean, so that could be one of the real, real incredible games of this tournament.
Can we take an appreciation?
Craig, you know what's interesting? Oh, sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know, what's interesting, everybody keeps talking about this Illinois-Oklahoma State matchup. And what gets lost in that is that Illinois' coach was Oklahoma State's coach. Mike Boynton, who's the coach of Oklahoma State, was an assistant under Brad Underwood. And Brad Underwood left, 2 years ago to take over at Illinois. So it would be Illinois, there would be the assistant coach playing against the head coach and the guy coaching against a bunch of guys that he recruited.
Wow. Jose Alvarado, though. Remember that name from Georgia Tech. That's my guy. He's going to take down Illinois. All right. We got to run. This is 2 hours. It's flown by.
So fun to talk college basketball.
I know. Dickie V was dancing around. I felt the same way he did. Just that there's an actual bracket. There's an actual tournament. This is so good. And a guy who we know loves it and a guy who we know could probably name the entire Hoosiers roster from 1976 is Homer. He's coming in next. Thanks for listening to Bracket Breakdown. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanks to Stephen Watson, Stephen Gruber, Chris Larson, David Gruber. It's 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin on